Okay, so like I said, it's been drilled into us through our training that suicide is not supposed to be about death, but it's more about stopping the pain. But I've really come to realize, because of our affinity, our close connection to the other side, that sometimes it is about promoting life to be better than what we have faith in on the other side. So that kind of goes against what we are taught and trained, but I think it's relevant. So I'll just read the first story that I came up with for that collection we call Fish Soup for the Spirit. Okay, so I revere research and expertise. When I met Dr. Chandler of the Chandler and Lalonde team, my jaw dropped, and after that meeting I requested something I never have of another guest, a photo of us together to show off on social media. I emphasize my awareness of best practices in suicidology because the experts have provided the foundation of the Stella Assert program. The diligence and generosity of people like Dr. Michael Chandler, Dr. Christopher Lalonde, Darian Thera, Rod McCormick, and institutions such as Living Works Education, IASP, CASP, and the AAS have allowed me to depart from their findings with confidence and peace of mind. As I say, when program planning, which is rarely a solitary feat, we tweak the wisdom of research to make it suitable for local purposes. What I know from my brand of rock star is that academic pursuits are often personal. Due to their personal experience, researchers are just as likely as me with my Indigenous methodologies to have aha moments because of the universality of personal loss, tragedy, and unavoidable triggers. My sister died in a car accident at the age of 20 when I was 16 years old. I've just realized that I need to thank my mother for not following her to the other side. While out walking, it dawned on me that out of heartbreak or at her own hand, my mother would have longed to join her daughter that year, and perhaps many after on the other side. I do understand that my mother would want an escape from her pain, but as an Aboriginal woman immersed in my culture, I consider it possible that she also actually did want to die. There are commonalities among the models of risk assessment, suicide prevention, intervention, and postvention that I respect and adhere to in my community work. But like any researcher, albeit an Indigenous methodologies one, I'm constantly learning and having breakthroughs in my understanding of my field. With my grounding as a registered intervention trainer, crisis line and suicide helpline volunteer and employee, and member of a research team led by PhDs, why would I assert a notion that goes against a near mantra in the field? People who are suicidal do not want to die. They want to end their pain. My job, reminding Indigenous people of community resources and guiding them to recognize and develop their most valuable resource, which is themselves, is sometimes about competing with a faith in the other side. My family and I have made it to adulthood, despite a very real and constant connection to our loved ones who are no longer in this world. My father was a fisherman who drowned trying to save his brother, who had an epileptic seizure and fell off their boat in the river. My memory of him is vivid. He has influenced me more as an adult than there was an opportunity for in the 8 years he was in my life here. My point is, I have him with me each day as part of my identity. As much as I have missed him and many other influences who have passed away, his death has not left a permanent void for me, like the losses that my mother endures. I had a formative relationship with my father. My mother had a husband and a favorite daughter, and in them, companionship, family, a future, and a comfort that she likely misses only more as she advances in age. I don't express this with pity or self-pity, but I believe that my mother consciously chose life when she admits she wanted to die. My newfound gratitude to her is a breakthrough, both personally and in my calling. When I was 10, I sat at a fire one sunset while the other kids were off playing. As it happens when your community has been corrupted by residential school abuse, the two adults I sat with were men who we kids knew as not safe. One nodded toward me and said to the other, "She's a weird kid, hey?" And the other answered, "Yeah, it's like sitting here with her dad." The sum of my personality traits and my DNA put them off and protected me. My late father protected me, and I have never had to yearn for the other side, to have him here as part of who I am each day. Without doubt, some people wish for death because they have overwhelming pain they want to escape, but sometimes pain is accompanied by a deep belief in and connection to their loved ones on the other side. It's then that connections to this world are crucial. As suicide interventionists, our task according to best practice is to help people cope with pain. My task as an Indigenous suicide interventionist is to ensure that life here among the living can compete with the faith we have that loved ones are on the other side for us as well. I carry these people with me in this world, and I guide people to see that they can do the same here among the living. The goal is the same across the field, make life better than the option of death. My mother stayed here long enough to learn through our culture that her daughter had an important purpose on the other side. She takes care of babies that have been lost in our family. We each have a gift to discover and share with our people. My family's culture has shown us that there is a role waiting on the other side, but more importantly, that our initial calling is here among the living. I made sure to thank my mother for choosing her living child when the connection she felt to each of us was actually equal in strength.